when he saw how they'd treated Liv, the fire in his eyes when he took her away. He'd been trying to look out for her, in one way or another, ever since. He'd placed her with Chuck and Marty, and checked up on her more regularly than most caseworkers would have. He never forced Liv to go to group therapy when she really, really didn't want to go. He told Liv he knew what it was like to lose family, and she didn't have to talk about it if she didn't want to. Liv knew that she owed a lot to Joe, and things could have gone much worse for her without him. But still, getting placed in another temporary group home just wasn't something she could handle, not right now. Any choice of her own was better than that. Liv's feet beat against the linoleum as she raced down the hospital staircase. Shoving open the heavy metal door, she was instantly bathed in the bright morning sunlight. She took off like a shot across the parking lot. She'd apologize to Joe later. The Exiled. Liv sat on the edge of her bed at Rita's house and stared at the worn, packed duffel lying at her feet. She knew she should get moving. This was the first place Joe would look for her, but she couldn't help looking around her room one last time. She thought about that idea of it being her room. When she'd woken up that morning, the room was definitely hers, but by tomorrow, it would just be a guest bedroom once again. Liv pushed her palms up against her eye sockets to stop angry tears from falling. She was mad at herself for caring, for letting herself get comfortable in this home for even a moment, for believing in the notion of a home at all. She knew better than that. She had more than 10 years of practice in knowing better than that. All of Liv's clothes and books fit in her duffel. Her camera equipment was already safely packed away in the trunk of her car, which she was reclaiming. Rita wouldn't need it in rehab anyway. Liv lifted the photo of her and Shannon off the dresser and tucked it in her bag, officially leaving the room exactly as she'd found it. She left quickly. It never helped to look back. She was halfway through the kitchen when she heard a low creaking noise coming from the living room. Footsteps? Liv stopped in her tracks and turned her head in the direction of the noise, but all she could make out now was the sound of a car horn in the distance. Carefully, Liv set her duffel bag down on the kitchen floor. She looked around for something solid and heavy to grab, eventually choosing the tea kettle on the stove. The noise sounded again, the same creaking only for longer this time. She pictured the face of the man who'd followed her down the alley, and her heart pounded hard. Liv gripped the kettle and slowly made her way toward the living room. She got to the doorway, then inched her head into the room and peered around. Couch, television, drapes, nothing out of the ordinary. Sighing, Liv felt the tension leave her shoulders. Just as she was beginning to feel silly for getting so worked up over a noise, she saw a blurring motion moving toward her from her left-hand side. Without thinking, Liv swung the kettle with all of her might. She felt it connect, but didn't realize who or what she'd hit until she heard a loud groan and a male voice crying out in pain. "Cedric? Ow! Again!" Cedric stepped forward and rubbed his shoulder. "Should I always be prepared for violence when we meet?" Liv let out a breath of relief and loosened her grip on the tea kettle. "Meet? You broke into my house! The door was open! So you just came right in?" Cedric shrugged, and then instantly winced in pain, reaching up for his shoulder again. "Well, here's a pro tip for living in L.A. Knock before entering." Liv set down the kettle and picked up her duffel. Cedric was still rubbing his shoulder. "What are you doing here?" she asked him. "You told me to come if I needed to find a new place to stay." Liv raised an eyebrow. "Well, as it happens, I'm looking for a new place to stay, too." Cedric looked around at the living room and Rita's modest belongings. "What is wrong with this place? It seems very comfortable." "It was." Liv kept her eyes trained on the floor. "It's not anymore." He didn't push the issue. "We should probably get out of here," Liv said. "I'll drive, obviously." Cedric followed her to the door and reached out an arm for her bag. Here, let me. No, it's okay, Liv said, swinging the duffel in front of her body. Instead of grabbing the bag's straps, Cedric's outstretched fingers instead brushed against Liv's hip, briefly touching the skin between her t-shirt and jeans. He pulled his fingers back quickly, and Liv felt her face redden. She was glad for the dim lighting of Rita's living room. I apologize. I did not mean... Cedric started. It's okay. I just don't like people touching my stuff, Liv said, then felt her blush deepen. I mean, my bag. That's what I meant. By stuff. Cedric nodded, but Liv could see confusion written on his face. She shook her head. Let's just go. Liv led Cedric out of the house and down the short driveway to her rust-red Corolla. She opened the back door and threw her duffel over the seat, then got into the driver's side. Cedric slowly opened his door and sat down, his back rigid against the passenger seat. He placed his palms down flat on his knees and stared through the windshield. You okay? Liv asked. Cedric swallowed and nodded, but kept his gaze forward.
I am still unaccustomed to these.
To cars?
Yes. They move much faster than I prefer.
Liv shook her head and put her keys in the ignition. Not this one, trust me. I saw you moving in that alley, and you could probably outpace my Corolla any day. Cedric smiled. That lopsided smile Liv remembered from the night before. So how did you get here? Liv asked as she reversed the car down the driveway. She noticed Cedric's eyes following the movements of her hands as she turned the wheel. It took several hours, I admit. I ran part of the way.
Ran?
That's like miles. And then I caught up to one of those large cars, the orange ones.
You mean a bus?
Cedric nodded, his eyes darting around the road as Liv pulled into traffic. A car moved in front of Liv's, and Cedric flinched.
Somehow I have a hard time picturing you in a bus, Liv said.
I was not really in it so much as I was riding on the back end where no one could see me.
Sure, like you do.
Cedric didn't notice her sarcasm.
It went fairly slowly, so it was easy to hang on. I probably could have run here faster, truthfully.
Liv just shook her head and decided to let it go. She would help Cedric find a place to stay, as promised, but she wouldn't help to actively encourage his delusions. So, I want to try this house in Echo Park first. I stayed there for a couple of weeks when I had this foster situation that, well, let's just say it sucked.
We must go to the museum first and get the others.
Cedric's voice was tense as the car picked up speed.
Of course we must,
Liv muttered. She waited until she was stopped at a red light before looking over at him. You know, it might help you relax if you buckle up.
Buckle what?
Liv sighed. All of Cedric's muscles ached from sitting so stiffly in the car. Just a few feet away, Liv seemed perfectly at ease. Her hands worked the controls in confident, easy motions that were completely foreign to him, no matter how much sense he tried to make of them. Whenever Cedric looked to his left or right and saw objects flying past the window in a series of blurred motions, he felt his stomach roll over on itself.
You really need to chill out, Liv said, glancing over at him.
Cedric had no idea what she was talking about, but he didn't want her to know that. Even though he had spent time at the museum eavesdropping on patrons to better understand the language of this world, it still took him some time to puzzle out certain expressions. He had to go by facial expression and body language to figure out what Liv was saying half the time. Now, her voice was calm, but her eyes looked worried. She was concerned for him. Cedric breathed out when he saw the familiar shape of the museum. Looks like the museum's closing, so I'm going to park on the street, Liv said. She maneuvered around a turn so fast that Cedric went flying across the center portion of the car and practically landed on her seat. He reached out a hand to steady himself, but it somehow landed on her thigh.
He could feel the warmth of her skin radiating through the fabric of her pants, and he felt his stomach swoop the way it had when he'd accidentally brushed against her in her house earlier. It was a strange feeling, like taking a step and finding a bottomless hole where the ground used to be, like jumping through the portal all over again. Cedric pulled his hand away quickly and pushed himself over to the far side of his seat. Liv kept her face turned forward, though Cedric thought her cheeks were a bit pinker than before. "See? That's why we buckle up." The car came to a stop near the alley that led to his secret living space. The area was mostly deserted. In the distance, Cedric could see cars pulling away from the main museum entrance in one long trail, their red lights blinking on and off in a strangely beautiful pattern. Just as Cedric got out of the car and put his feet on the ground, he heard the sound of yelling. "Cedric!" Cedric turned around and saw a lone figure running toward the museum. Merrick. And he wasn't alone. Six men were chasing him, their footsteps echoing along the street. "Cedric!" Merrick yelled again, waving his arms. That's when Cedric realized that the men following him weren't actually men at all. Merrick barreled forward, nearly running smack into Cedric and Liv, who had also exited the car. Cedric grabbed his shoulders. "You led them here?" Merrick's face twisted. "No, I just..." And then the wraths were upon them. Cedric vaguely heard the sound of Liv crying out. As he squared off to push back the first wrath he saw, there were too many of them to fight easily. They outnumbered him and Merrick 3-1. Instead of panicking, a sense of familiar calm washed over Cedric. Finally, here was something he knew he could handle. He didn't have to devise an elaborate plan, search for a secret artifact, defend his leadership, or try to make conversation with an alluring girl from a strange hell dimension. He only had to calculate strength and response, defend and attack. This was a language he knew, and one he was good at. The first wrath to approach Cedric gripped a long metal pipe. As he swung it out, Cedric easily ducked away. He used the spare second to retrieve his knife from the hidden pocket Cat had sewn into his pants. He cut the knife down toward the wrath's midsection, but the wrath skidded backward. Cedric turned quickly to Liv, who seemed frozen in place as a tall wrath, muscled and wearing a thick red beard, reached out for her. Just as she put up an arm to defend herself, Cedric spun around and kicked out with his right leg, connecting with the red-haired wrath's face. The creature was only momentarily stunned, and Cedric was just positioning himself to land another blow when he felt something heavy slam into his back. He nearly dropped to his knees before forcing himself back up to face the first wrath, who still held the metal pipe in its clawed grip. Though his back was on fire, Cedric straightened to face both the red-haired wrath and the wrath with the pipe as they advanced on him. Through their figures, he could just barely make out Merrick dodging a series of blows. The wraths were pushing them back toward the alley that led to the tunnel entrance. Blocking the metal pipe with his left arm, as he swung his knife out with his right, Cedric yelled out to Liv, "We need help! Get Cat!" He wasn't even able to turn around and see if she had followed his direction before the two wraths smashed into him with astonishing force. He pulled both wraths to the ground, and the next noise he heard was the harsh crack of breaking bones echoing off the alley's brick walls. The Warriors. The red-haired man who had tried to grab Liv now lay on the ground, writhing in pain. A jagged yellowish piece of bone stuck out through the span of skin just below his elbow. But it was his eyes Liv couldn't stop staring at. They were all black, shiny, and empty, just like those of the man who'd attacked her in this very alley the night before. The wrath. The word bounced to Liv's mind easily, but she pushed it away just as quickly. Cedric rolled away from where he had landed on top of the man and got to his feet again. "Run! Liv, go!" Liv whirled around and sprinted toward the grate. She was halfway there before she stopped to look behind her. Her heart flipped as she realized how outnumbered they were. With shaking fingers, she reached down into her purse and pulled out her cell phone, then punched in 3 buttons. 911, what is your emergency? I need help. My friend is being attacked by a group of, bad men. They're really strong. I think they may be on drugs or something. I need you to tell me exactly where you are. The Natural History Museum downtown. They're in the alley on the right-hand side of the building. Liv could hear clicking noises as the women typed into a keyboard on the other end of the line. She reached the grate in the alley wall and bent down to swing herself through it. A tinny voice echoed out through her phone. "Sorry, what was that?" Liv asked, sliding ungracefully into the tunnel. It was completely dark in there, with only a bit of afternoon light filtering in from the alley. Liv made her way through the tunnel slowly. It was much more difficult without Cedric to guide the way. The woman's voice came through insistent and firm. "Can you tell me if any of the attackers have weapons?" I don't know, but there's a lot of them. Please hurry. Dispatch is on the way. Tell me what's..." The woman's voice cut out, leaving only a buzzy silence in Liv's ear. She looked down at the phone as she continued walking. No reception. Liv clicked on the flashlight app, and a bright beam of light flickered over the walls of the concrete tunnel. Securing her phone in her right hand, she started to run. Eventually, she saw a warm glow of light coming from around the corner, and she sprinted toward it. She rounded the corner and found herself at the entrance of a wide, dimly lit room filled with wooden crates and blankets. A teenage girl jumped up from where she'd been sitting at the edge of the room, assuming a fighting stance as she did so. It was the girl from under the bridge. Cat. Liv's flashlight app lit up the strange girl's features. Even though Kat's face was contorted with confusion, and she wore what looked like a loose nightgown over a grimy pair of jeans, she was still one of the most beautiful girls Liv had ever seen, outside of a movie screen. Her dark eyes scanned Liv's face as she approached. "Who are you?" Kat asked, her voice high and forceful. "Cedric sent me," Liv choked out. "Cedric?" Kat moved forward, closer to Liv. Her eyes narrowed. "Wait, I remember you." "Cedric's in trouble," Liv breathed out. "He's right outside fighting this group of men of, Wraths. There's so many of them." Understanding dawned on Kat's face. In a movement almost too quick for Liv's eyes to follow, she dropped to the floor and picked up something shiny. It was the sword that had sat in Liv's room for 2 months. Cedric must have reclaimed it from the acquisitions department. Kat gripped the hilt and pushed her way past Liv without a second glance. "I'll just, follow you then," Liv called after her, weakly. Kat's footsteps were already fading away through the tunnel. When Liv finally made her way back to the grate and crawled back into the alley, the first thing she noticed was that the fight had gotten closer. The men had pressed in toward the recesses of the alley, blocking off the view of the street. Someone yelled out in pain. "Cedric," Liv whispered, then took off toward the fight. The logical part of Liv's brain screamed out at her to stop, but she ignored it, running faster and faster down the concrete alleyway. It was only when she finally reached the tight circle of fighting that she halted abruptly, her shoes screeching against the pavement. Instead of jumping in to help, she could only stare in amazement at what unfolded around her, bright and strange as a movie sequence. The alley was only about 10 feet across from wall to wall, and nearly the entire width of the space was filled with the sights and sounds of fighting. Liv saw Kat toss Cedric the sword through the air. He caught it in one hand, mid-whirl, and somehow seemed more balanced with the large blade than without it. Kat squared off against a burly blonde man in a torn Metallica t-shirt. Just like the others, he had jet-black eyes and a pointy grimace. He slashed out with one of his hands, aiming for the smooth skin of Kat's right cheek with fingernails that were sharpened to pointed bits, almost like claws. Kat held up her hand to ward off the blow, then ducked under the man's grasp. Clenching his arm in her own small hands, she wrenched it downward, snapping it over her knee. Physically, it shouldn't have been possible. For someone as slight as Kat to get that kind of leverage over her attacker and to exert enough force to break his arm, it went against the laws of nature. Liv wouldn't have believed it had she not heard the crack of bone from where she stood. Against one wall, Cedric and Merrick were fighting more of the wraths. One of the black-eyed men charged at Merrick, and before the two collided, Merrick swerved to his left, grabbed the man from behind, and used his momentum to throw him against the side of the museum. When the man's head hit the wall, the bricks behind him cracked and crumbled, falling in pieces to the ground. Again, it shouldn't have been possible. It shouldn't have happened. But it had. And Cedric? He was all speed. He moved so fast between two of the hulking men that Liv could barely see him, aside from a kick here or a whirled blade there. The two attackers grunted in frustration as their fists missed their target again and again. Cedric moved with precision and accuracy, but also with a kind of grace, and his face, though his expression was set in determination, Liv could swear he was almost smiling. He leaped off the ground, higher than Liv thought a person should be able to leap, and kicked a man in the jaw. Then he landed on his own two feet with hardly a grunt and kept fighting. Liv sucked in a breath as her eyes bounced from Cedric to the others, watching them break the laws of physics as they fought. They looked like, well, like superheroes, fighting off the bad guys in the third act of the movie. Except this wasn't a movie. This was real. Everything in the world seemed to shift slightly. Liv couldn't argue with what she was seeing happen with her own two eyes. But none of it made sense, either. It didn't fit into the real world that she knew. The world that she'd always known. Was she going crazy? Or was it that Cedric wasn't lying? That everything he'd told her was true? And if that was the case, then... Liv struggled to think straight. Cedric said he'd come through a portal from another world, that he'd been raised to fight monsters with all black eyes and super strength. Liv looked at the disfigured men around her, letting the truth sink in. They weren't on drugs. They weren't part of a strange cult or a group of Anne Rice fanboys. They weren't human at all. Holy shit. The whispered words were barely out of Liv's mouth before something knocked into her from behind. Liv fell face first to the ground and hit it hard. She tried and failed to cry out, unable to pull in a breath. Craning her neck, Liv saw one of the wraths perched over her, knee pressed into her back. It was the black-haired wrath who had attacked her the night before. "I've got her," the wrath called out in a rough voice. "Hold her there." Another low voice responded. Liv looked to the others, but they were all still busy fighting. No one had noticed her go down. The second wrath approached, a large one with a shock of white-gray hair. The man who'd stared at her on the bus. He looked down at Liv with hungry eyes, then to the black-haired wrath. "Well?" Liv pushed up off the ground with all her might, but the black-haired wrath still had his knee located firmly in her back and one hand clutching tightly at the back of her jacket. He pushed her back down to the pavement, and Liv heard her jacket tearing. She looked back again and saw the wrath staring down at her exposed skin. His black eyes narrowed, his features contorting into something that might be construed as a smile.
"Well done, Varl," the wrath from the bus said. "You were right."
The wrath's head whipped around at a sound in the distance. Sirens. In the instant he was distracted, Cedric appeared and slammed his entire body into the black-haired wrath, Varl, knocking him off Liv in one ungraceful yet effective movement. Liv scrambled to her feet just in time to jump away from the grasp of the white-haired wrath. His grin revealed a row of overcrowded, pointy teeth. Liv screamed. "Cat!" Cedric called out, still fighting with Varl on the ground. "Help!" The white-haired wrath grabbed for Liv again, his smile contorting into a snarl. The sirens grew louder. Liv curled her hands into fists, hoping she could keep the advancing wrath at bay until the police arrived. Cat got there first. She jumped into the white-haired man's path and aimed a roundhouse kick that he quickly dodged. Cat pursued, throwing punch after punch until one landed on the wrath's jaw. Cat stopped punching when red and blue lights fell over the brick and concrete. Liv looked up to see two squad cars pulling up to the mouth of the alley.
Finally, she muttered.
The Raths noticed the police, too. Many of them stopped fighting, instead looking from the cop cars to one another, as if deciding what to do. Cedric disentangled himself from Varl and jumped up.
We must leave, he said. Now.
The white-haired Rath whipped his head back in Cedric's direction. He'd made his decision. Turning his back on the cops, he squared off to face Cedric and his friends. The other Raths quickly followed suit.
You're not going anywhere, he said.
Chath, what about?
Varl said, gesturing toward the cops. The white-haired Rath, Chath, snorted.
They cannot hurt us. And neither can the royals. If they had silver, they would have used it by now.
Chath grinned.
But we can hurt them.
Chath nodded his head in Liv's direction, and Varl leaped out toward her. This time Liv didn't wait for Cedric or Kat to jump in the way of the charging Rath. She ran. She dodged around Varl and nearly collided with the alley wall. Instead, she pushed herself off it and kept racing ahead, straight toward the cops.
Help! Liv, no!
Cedric was running right behind her. Liv turned around in surprise as Cedric caught up to her easily, grabbing her wrist.
Everybody stay where you are!
A gruff voice called out. Two officers jogged toward them from the mouth of the alley. One talked into his walkie-talkie as he ran.
Liv, Cedric said, his voice low and urgent. His eyes darted between the cops and Kat, who was once again fighting with the Raths nearest to her.
Those men cannot help us. We must run.
But,
Liv sputtered. She looked up and saw Kat getting knocked to the ground by a hulking Rath.
Trust me, please, Cedric said. His eyes raked over hers, intense. He didn't seem to notice that he was still gripping her arm.
Liv looked back at the police as they took formation along the alley.
He's got a weapon!
Liv's chest seized as the officers nearest to her pulled out their guns. They were looking at Cedric, who still held the longsword in one hand. His eyes were on her, begging. She nodded. Cedric lifted Liv off the ground and sprinted backward before she could say another word. They moved so fast that the shapes passing by Liv condensed into one unfocused blur. In just a few seconds, they were standing back with the others, who continued to grapple with the Raths.
Move out! Now!
Cedric screamed. His voice blended into the commands being shouted by the police officers. Chath was also screaming orders, but Liv couldn't pick one voice from another in the chaos. She saw Kat free Merrick from the grip of a Rath. Varl stood frozen, eyes bouncing between Cedric and the officer who was quickly approaching him. He charged the officer, knocking his gun down and throwing him back against the brick wall in a fraction of a second. The officer smashed into the wall and crumpled to the ground, motionless. Liv let out an involuntary gasp, her breath catching in her throat. And then they were running, racing toward the back of the alley, away from the cops and the Raths both. Liv knew they were running in the opposite direction of her car, but she couldn't get her mind to work right to say something. It was stuck on the image of the police officer's head hitting the brick wall. She heard one gunshot, then another, but refused to look back. Cedric still carried Liv, tight against his side, as they finally reached the back of the alley. He turned left just before the fence, running down a second alley that butted up against the rear of the park. Another turn, this one toward the massive USC Coliseum, and soon the sounds of the fight faded behind them. Liv could only hear the labored sound of Cedric's breathing, the racing of his heart, the paces of his friends as they ran and ran and ran. They finally made it to a large parking lot, and Liv found herself breathing normally. Her thoughts were less muddled by fear.
Cedric, she said, turning her head to face his.
Cedric, stop, she said. His body slowed from a sprint into a human-capable jog, and then a walk.
You can put me down, please,
Liv said. Slowly, Cedric's arms released from around her waist, and he set her down on the pavement behind a giant parked SUV. She felt better the instant she was once again standing on her own 2 feet. The others came up behind them, slowing to a stop as well.
"Is anyone injured?"
Cedric asked. Merrick shook his head, but Kat motioned to her shoulder.
"Dislocated,"
she said, matter of fact. Liv could only detect a hint of pain in her face when Cedric gently reached out and touched her shoulder.
"I can put it right when we get somewhere safe," Kat said.
"Where did the men in blue come from?" Cedric shook his head and ran a hand through his hair.
I
called them," Liv said. Kat muttered something under her breath. Liv looked around at each of them, shaking her head.
"You were being attacked by a group of seriously pissed-off-looking guys."
Cedric looked at her in disbelief.
"Wraths! I told you, they were wraths!
Well, I know that now," Liv yelled back. "But at the time, I didn't believe they were... monsters." Liv had called the LAPD to fight a gang of monsters. She saw the police officer again, the way he'd hit the brick wall, the way he'd slid to the ground. That was her fault. Cedric let out an exasperated sigh and turned away from Liv toward Merrick.
"What I don't understand," he said in a strained voice, "is what those wraths were doing chasing you."
Merrick's face drained of color.
"You went after them, didn't you? You went against me and sought out the wraths to speak to them as though they were creatures to be reasoned with."
"Not exactly," Merrick said.
"Merrick," Kat put in, "you told me you were looking for food."
"I was not going to talk to them, only to see if they were still near the museum and maybe try to track them. But then they found me.
You expect me to believe that?"
Cedric looked incredulous.
"I honestly do not care what you believe," Merrick retorted.
"Do you care about anything?
We could have all been killed tonight."
Merrick's jaw tightened, and he averted his eyes to look at the ground.
"We do not have time for this now," Kat said. "We cannot stay here."
Cedric and Merrick continued to glare at each other, but neither said another word. Liv looked back in the direction of the museum.
"The police are right by my car. We'll never get past them. I think we should get to a busy street and try to blend in with the crowd."
"And why should we do what you say?" Kat's voice turned from sensible to biting as she turned to Liv with narrowed eyes.
"Who are you, anyway?"
"I'm the only one here who knows my way around this city," Liv shot back. For a moment, Cedric looked between the two girls. His gaze finally settled on Liv.
"Do you know somewhere safe we can go?"
Kat's jaw clenched, and she looked away. Liv ignored her and pulled out her phone.
"Not only that, but I know who can get us there, too."
The Unavoidable Truths. The gray minivan pulled up 20 minutes later, then skidded to a halt just outside of the laundromat doorway where Liv waited with Cedric and the others. The passenger side window rolled down, revealing Shannon's black and red locks and her incensed face.
"Liv, what the hell?"
Liv stepped forward and rested her hands on the van's window.
Hey, Shannon. I don't hear from you since yesterday. Joe's been calling me to see if I know where you are, and then I steal my mom's van, which was much more difficult the second time around, by the way, to come pick you up halfway across town, and all you can say is, "Hey, Shannon."
Liv waited for Shannon to take a breath.
"Thanks for coming, and for covering with Joe, and for stealing the minivan, but we kind of need a ride. Then I can explain."
"We?" Liv gestured to where Cedric and the others stood behind her. Shannon looked past Liv, and her mouth fell open.
"Oh, my God, is that... are they who I think they are?"
"It's kind of a long story," Liv said. Shannon continued to stare.
"I'm sure.
But we really need to get out of here, like, 5 minutes ago, so..." Shannon shook her head in slow disbelief, then leaned back in the driver's seat.
Okay, get in, but I'm going to need more details.
Liv waved her hand to Cedric, who stepped forward, the others close behind. One by one, they all climbed into the van. Shannon turned to Liv in the passenger seat and whispered,
"Are you in trouble?"
Liv swallowed.
"Kinda. Can you take me to Echo Park, near Alvarado?"
"Curiouser and curiouser," Shannon mumbled, rolling her eyes, but she put the car into drive and slipped back into the traffic on the street. Liv took the opportunity to pull out her phone and saw 6 missed calls from Joe. Damn. She put the phone away. While she drove, Shannon sneaked peeks at the others through the rearview mirror. Her eyes landed on Cedric, and then on the sword he still gripped in his hands. Her eyebrows shot up. Liv wondered how much of the truth she'd be able to tell Shannon. Certainly nothing about wraths or portals or teenage royals from another world. She'd seen that insane fight go down with her own 2 eyes, and still had to remind herself every few minutes that it was all actually real and not just a weirdly vivid hallucination.
"So, what's in Echo Park?" Shannon asked,
"since we're already on the way and all."
"Remember freshman year when I was staying with the Hotmans?"
Shannon's hands tightened on the wheel.
"Yes," she whispered.
The Hotmans were a particularly mediocre set of foster parents Liv had lived with for about 6 months. They were drunks, but not like Rita. Not like her at all.
"That was when I tried to set you up in my garage, and my mom caught us."
Liv nodded.
"And I had nowhere else to go, so I ran."
Shannon's eyebrows wrinkled.
"I thought Joe put you in a group home."
"He did, eventually," Liv said, careful with her words. "But I was on my own for a while. I fell in with some kids who helped me out."
"Like runaways?"
Shannon pursed her lips.
"That's what I was too, remember?
Anyway, these kids let me in on some places I could stay. Abandoned houses, foreclosed places. It's kind of like a network. I just hope this place we're going is still empty."
"Why did you never tell me any of this?"
Liv couldn't meet Shannon's eye, and was glad that they were having this conversation while Shannon was driving.
"I don't know. It was just easier that way, to keep that part of my life separate from everything else."
"You know I'm here for you, right? You can tell me anything." Shannon's words were comforting, but her voice sounded slightly accusatory and hurt.
"I know that, Shan. I really do."
They drove on in silence. Liv gazed out the window at the small artsy boutiques and coffee shops lined up next to 99-cent stores and fast food restaurants on Sunset Boulevard. Nearly every corner was populated by a homeless person, a hipster in skinny jeans, or both.
"Here."
Liv nodded to a street on the right. Shannon turned and the van moved slowly uphill, past single-level houses painted orange, purple, and green. Some of the houses had small front lawns covered with furniture, while others were hidden behind fences bearing "Beware of Dog" signs. Nearly every third house was still decorated with Christmas lights, even though it was August. The abandoned house sat, dark and empty, at the very top of the hill, all peeling paint and a sagging front porch. A foreclosure sign leaned against the front door. The house had an unusually large lawn in the front and on the sides, almost as if the houses on either side were trying to get their distance from it. It backed up to a grove of trees so thick that Liv couldn't see through them.
"We're here."
The doors opened and Cedric and his friends climbed out of the van. Before he was fully outside, Merrick turned to Shannon.
"Did you know that your hair looks like it's bleeding?"
Shannon made a face. "A simple thanks for the ride would have been fine." Merrick shrugged and jumped out of the van. Shannon whipped her head back to face Liv, who put up a hand, speaking first. "I told you I would explain everything, and I will, but right now I have to get them set up." Shannon bit her lip, then nodded.
"I trust you."
What should I tell Joe if he calls back?
Don't tell him anything. Just till I can figure things out.
Okay.
Oh, here's that shirt you asked for. What happened to yours anyway?
Shannon handed a folded-up, long-sleeved t-shirt to Liv. Her eyebrows creased as she looked at the tatters of Liv's shirt.
Caught it on a nail.
You know me, never met an outfit I couldn't destroy in less than a day. Liv let out a shaky laugh and opened the passenger side door. Shannon eyed Liv's bandaged hand, too.
Right, she said.
Hey, Liv, you would tell me, wouldn't you, if something was really, really wrong?
I'd tell you. Everything's fine. Weird, but fine, Liv said, getting out of the van and closing the door quickly before Shannon could figure out she was lying.
The house had 4 bedrooms in total, but the 3 located upstairs were deemed unusable because the staircase leading to the 2nd floor was almost entirely rotted through. All of the downstairs rooms were empty, except for 2 tattered couches in the living room. The electricity wasn't connected, and the water was shut off. Liv searched the kitchen cabinets just in case whoever had last passed through left some cans of food behind. No luck. Liv found a bathroom on the 1st floor and shut herself in. It was getting dark out, but the curtainless window let in a good amount of twilight, enough for Liv to check herself out in the mirror above the sink. Her face looked drained of color, all whiteness and shadows. A tiny bandage was still affixed above her eyebrow, from when she'd first been attacked by a wrath the night before. It already felt like weeks ago. Liv wished she could splash some cold water on her face to freshen up, but she settled for running her fingers through her hair. Her brush was locked in the back seat of her car, along with the rest of her things. She'd have to figure out a way to get it all back the next morning. And then, well, she wasn't exactly sure what she'd do then. School started in a week, and she was once again homeless. That was enough of a problem without thinking about the fact she'd just been attacked by monsters from another world. Liv slowly shrugged out of her jacket and turned around so that her back was to the mirror. She craned her neck, trying to see the area where the wrath had clawed at her. Her t-shirt hung from her shoulders in shreds, but the skin underneath was undamaged. She reached up a hand and pulled the pieces of t-shirt away. She brushed her fingers against the dark, twirling lines of her tattoo.
"You're fine," she said to her reflection. "One thing at a time."
Liv put on Shannon's shirt, took another deep breath, and opened the bathroom door. In the living room, Cedric was holding Kat's arm out in a straight line, while Merrick gripped her other side.
"Ready?"
Cedric asked. Kat nodded, her face set and pale. Cedric quickly pushed Kat's arm, and Liv jumped at the resulting cracking noise. Then Kat let out a long, ragged sigh and sank onto one of the sagging couches. After a moment, Liv cleared her throat and looked to Cedric, who sat down as well, as close to Kat as he could be without upsetting her shoulder.
"Okay, now that I know, or at least I'm pretty sure, that you're not a crazy person, I'm going to need some more answers."
Cedric nodded.
"I tried to tell you before."
Liv sighed. "I know, but after seeing you fight, and those things, they weren't just men. I wanted to believe they were, but they most definitely are not."
Cedric finished for her.
"You said you came from another world?" Liv asked.
"Calum," Kat said. Her voice was clipped, and she gently rubbed at her shoulder.
"Right. Well, I guess that's the part I'm having a little trouble with. The other world part. So does that make you aliens?"
"What's an alien?" Merrick asked. He'd moved to perch at an empty window seat across the room. His fingers worked over a tarnished metal lighter in his palm.
"An alien is like, you know, from another planet." Liv gestured out the window, up toward the moon.
"Like E.T.?"
Blank looks all around.
Have you never seen E.T.? It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Liv put one finger in the air. Phone home.
Movie. Cedric's lips formed the word awkwardly, as if they'd never spoken it before. Wait, are you telling me you've never seen a movie ever?
Liv asked, incredulous. The Avengers, Star Wars, Mean Girls?
Any combination of moving pictures that tell a story, anyone at all?
Nothing.
Liv shook her head. That's just so sad. How can you have an entire planet with no movies? I mean, is Calum really that different from here? You do seem to speak English pretty well, for the most part.
We speak the same language because we originated from this realm, Cedric replied.
Many, many years ago, our people lived here as guardians. They were here for centuries, fighting off the wraths and keeping peace. But it was a hard, bitter place, and our numbers were small. The wraths had the advantage, and that is when the first portal was opened.
Liv raised her hand. Sorry to interrupt, and I'm not saying that history is my area of expertise or anything, but if wraths came from this world, I think I would know.
Cedric shrugged. This is what we have always been told. Our people cross through a portal to seek a new world, leaving this one behind. But the wraths followed us, and they did the one thing they're good at doing, aside from causing destruction. They populated.
Liv pictured the all-black eyes from the wraths in the alley, not to mention the teeth, and fought off a shiver.
I come from a long line of guardian kings, who have ruled over Calum for centuries. We keep the wraths from entering our territories, and send out hunting parties to destroy those who come too close. That is the way it has always been, until...
Cedric's voice faltered, and he looked out the window.
Until recently.
Cat finished for him.
Until Malquin.
Cedric added, his voice hard. Cat reached out and laid her hand on top of his.
Liv couldn't help thinking of how it had felt to hold that same hand of Cedric's briefly in the tunnels. She pulled her eyes away.
The only chance we have of getting back and reclaiming the palace is to find those scrolls, Cedric went on.
Right, you mentioned them at the diner, Liv said.
We do not know much about this world, Earth, or what life was like here before our people left it, Cedric continued. But it is rumored the first portal was opened by a series of scrolls.
Rumored being the operative word, Merrick cut in.
There is always a chance the scrolls are imaginary, and we do not actually have a way home. But we chose to believe they are real,
Kat said, glaring at Merrick. She turned to Liv.
According to legend, there were three scrolls originally used to open the portal to Calum. And those scrolls were left behind on Earth when our people crossed through. We need them to open a portal again.
Liv's mind raced, trying to keep up. She struggled to fit the details into a larger picture, the way she would when trying to piece together a movie.
Okay, so the scrolls are the MacGuffin.
Cedric's face was blank.
What?
Liv sat up straighter.
Oh, it's a filmmaking device. A thing that everyone wants to get. Like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction or the Ark of the Covenant in Indiana Jones.
You are speaking nonsense again. Cedric shook his head, but inched forward on the couch, his attention only on Liv. She leaned forward too.
I'm speaking nonsense? Portals and monsters and scrolls? That's nonsense. Movies have internal logic, at least. They have rules, so you know what's going on. Like, imagine your life is a story.
Now that would be good,
he said, and grinned.
I can see it now. The waffle-eating prince, who loved his sword too much,
said the girl who spoke gibberish and drove much too fast.
Cat cleared her throat loudly, and Cedric and Liv both shut up and sat up straight, as though they'd been caught at something.
Anyway, Liv continued, if your life were a movie, The MacGuffin would be the thing you really, really want.
Fascinating, but I believe we have things of actual import to discuss,
Kat said, her voice cold. From the other side of the room, Merrick scoffed, like jealous fiancés. There was an awkward silence, and Liv took a deep breath, choosing to pretend she hadn't heard Merrick.
So I get you're looking for scrolls, but why didn't your people just come back here years ago, once they realized the, wraths followed them to Calum?
Merrick snorted and gestured outside.
Why do you think?
Cedric shifted uncomfortably.
We were taught that our people left this place when it had grown uninhabitable, though the wraths followed us, returning here was never even an option.
You do not escape hell, only to return, Merrick said, his voice low.
Well, I think that's a little harsh. I mean, yeah, we may have a lot of wars and a disturbing amount of reality TV shows based on botched plastic surgeries, but...
Hell? Liv laughed.
I mean, Earth is where you all came from.
It's your home.
It is not our home, Kat said.
Okay, but it's not hell.
Liv turned to Cedric.
Is that really what you think?
Cedric sighed. What I think is we have to get back at any cost. It is not only our own lives in the balance. All of Calum is at risk.
For a moment, no one spoke. Another thought occurred to Liv.
Wait, you said these wraths followed your people into Calum? If that's true, how did they end up in that alley? And why are they after you now?
Cedric's eyebrows furrowed.
I do not know the answer to that.
Or to anything else, really,
Merrick muttered, looking out of the window.
Yes, Merrick, I think you've made your opinion on the matter quite clear. You continue to be extremely helpful by repeating it.
Well, Liv said with a forced laugh, at least when your people went through that portal the first time, they remembered to take sarcasm with them.
To Liv's and everyone's surprise, Kat was the one who laughed at that. She quickly squelched it, forcing her expression back to being a more grim one.
It has been a long night, Kat said, and we are all a little tense. Maybe we should get some rest.
Liv still had so many questions to ask, but more than that, she wanted a few quiet moments to think and to wrap her head around everything that had happened.
That's a good idea, she said. This place is relatively safe, I mean, from cops anyway.
As for the wraths,
they cannot have followed us, Cedric said. We moved too quickly on the way here.
Yeah, well, Shannon believes that speed limits are more of a suggestion than a rule.
Liv laughed, but it was hollow. She tried to ignore the way her stomach flipped around uncomfortably at just the thought of those creatures with the pitch-black eyes and the way that black-haired one had stared at her hungrily as it pinned her down to the ground. She shook her head to rid herself of the image. They ended up spreading out around couches or on the torn carpet in the living room. Liv lay down against the cushions in the darkness, her eyes barely making out the sloping shapes lying around her. As the minutes stretched on, she could tell that the others were falling asleep, one by one. She wanted to stay awake and sort through all of the images of the day, get them into some kind of recognizable order, but instead, she slipped into half-dreams full of black-eyed monsters and dark holes that tore open the sky before waking up each time with a gasp. After a few hours, Liv gave up trying to think, or even trying to get a good night's rest. None of the sleeping forms so much as twitched as she got up and crept out of the room and through the kitchen. Through a window in the kitchen door, Liv could clearly see the backyard area, dim and tranquil in the moonlight. She opened the door and walked out onto the back patio. A few plastic lawn chairs surrounded a glass-top table, with an old dirty ashtray sitting on top of it. Liv took a seat and shut her eyes. she suddenly longed to go down to her spot by the river, which she knew would be isolated and calm at this time of night. It was her go-to place whenever life was feeling a bit much. But even if she had her car with her, it wouldn't have felt right to leave Cedric and the others behind on their own. A small scraping sound made Liv jump. She whirled around and saw Cedric coming through the back door, which he closed behind him. "Cannot sleep?" he asked. "Nope. Lots going on up here," Liv replied, pointing to her head. She tried to let out a small laugh, but it got caught at a lump in her throat and came out sounding strangled. "Do you mind?" Cedric pointed to the chair next to hers. Liv shook her head. "I find it can be hard to sleep through the night in this world. We usually rotate in shifts." Cedric leaned back in his chair, tipping his head toward the sky. Liv followed his gaze. She'd always loved how the night sky in Los Angeles could look different depending on where you were. By the beach, it was a deep blue. In the center of Hollywood, with its roaming searchlights and congestion, the sky turned purple-gray, almost the color of slate. Here, in Echo Park, it reflected the orangey glow of the streetlights. "Do you believe what Merrick said in there?" Liv asked, her eyes still on the sky. "About thinking this place is hell?" Cedric waited a moment before responding. "I did it first, but not anymore. There are some things here that seem far too lovely to exist in any type of hell."
"Like syrup?"
"Among other things." Cedric flushed and looked away. "I suppose this realm is not like any kind of hell I have ever heard of. Then again, how would one really know? Maybe hell is just a myth we ascribe to worlds we cannot imagine."
"Whoa. Deep."
"I am more than just a pretty face."
Liv snorted, and Cedric gave her that half-smile she was coming to recognize. His eyes looked dark blue in the moonlight, half-covered in shadow. She remembered how fast he had run in the alley and nodded toward his outstretched leg.
"I guess that's true. Does everyone have superpowers where you're from?"
"Superpowers?"
Cedric chuckled in the darkness.
"I like that.
All guardians are fast and strong. To better fight the rats. Several generations ago, the fastest and the strongest of us joined forces to rule over the others and ensure peace in the kingdom."
Liv was about to interject with a snarky comment about fascism, but decided against it.
"For years, the royals would intermarry to ensure that the next generation would be just as capable of leading," Cedric continued.
"Thus, arranged marriage.
It is of the utmost importance. The Wraths grow in number every year, and we have to maintain the power to fight them."
"So, you were all trained to fight? The way you all moved in that alley? I've never seen anything like it."
"We were all trained, yes. Kat and I had royal training for years. Merrick trained as well, although he never showed the same aptitude as his older brother. I think it bothered him more than a little."
Liv choked down a laugh.
"Well, that explains the majorly chipped shoulder, I guess."
"The what?"
Liv waved her hand.
"He just seems to go out of his way to be kind of a dick. You know, rude for no reason.
So, remind me to keep away from Shannon. That's exactly her type."
Liv had meant it as a joke, sort of. But Cedric didn't smile.
"I suppose he has his reasons to act as he does. As a second son, Merrick will not take over his father's place as Duke. Without superior fighting skills, he will never lead a guard either. Still, he is royalty, and my responsibility."
He paused.
"Dick or not?"
Liv pursed her lips to swallow her laughter at Cedric's labored pronunciation of the word. They sat in silence for another moment. Liv batted a fly away from her leg
as she tucked both her legs up underneath her in the flimsy chair.
What's it like where you're from?
Calum, Cedric started, his voice turning softer.
Is not as bright as here. We have